Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our God is crowned King of creation, crowned ruling all the nations. Hallelujah. Lord, we say you are crowned. You are crowned over our heavens and our earth, O God. Hallelujah. We say, Lord, you are the great high priest upon the throne of our hearts. Even today, O Lord, we appreciate you. We love you. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you for the life and the grace you have given to us, and the fellowship of the brethren that you have given to us, and this opportunity, and this platform, and this situation, O God. And even today, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the days ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For you say, arise, shine, for thy light is come. Lord, we say our light has come. And that the glory of the Lord is rising upon us. Hallelujah. Lord, you are just a rising. A rising of your light, of your presence, of your power. Hallelujah. We see righteousness rising up within us, springing up. Hallelujah. We see darkness fading away. Hallelujah. We thank you for the new day. That is the new man you are raising on the earth. Blessed be your name, Lord. Lord, we say the spirit of Jesus is the spirit of testimony. Oh Lord, we receive that anointing of Christ. And even this spirit of testimony, even this testimony of Jesus, testimony of the Christ. Hallelujah. That is rising up. Hallelujah in our day. Blessed be your name, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Permit me, I just want to take a little bit of your time. Just to share a word that's bubbling in my heart. So I can't keep it. So you have to forgive me. Amen. Pray for your brother. Maybe I can keep it next time. Amen. Amen. So, there is something interesting that is happening. I don't know if you can feel it, but I'm sure you can. But you see, the tables are changing, are turning. Oh, yeah. Amen. Yeah. The game is changing. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. And the tables are turning. Hallelujah. The house of David is becoming stronger.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I pray, if you haven't seen it, God will help you to appreciate it and to know that the game has changed. I want to talk about the doctrine of Christ. I want to talk about the doctrine of Christ. I want to talk about Emmanuel. And then I want to talk about man. And then I want to talk about resurrection.
Amen.
Amen. Many things with a very short time. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yesterday we were discussing, just an aspect of what I'm going to say. We're talking about, the priesthood of Melchizedek. I was not very happy yesterday. I was just, lamenting, and the brethren were praying for me. Amen. Okay, so today, we'll do it differently. I'm looking at Colossians chapter 2. Let's start from there. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 9. There we see a scripture that is outstanding. I don't know if you have thought about it. I think we can start there. It says, verse 8 says, Colossians 2:8, say, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Amen. By the way, I see Sister Guri. Do you remember when you told us about emotional intelligence? I saw the book along the road and I bought it. Then we went to you, I saw another one. It says applying emotional intelligence. So they say it's a follow-up of the book the man wrote. Well, I can understand it because as a medical person, he was coming from neuroscience, talking about the science of the mind, the emotions, the hormones, the way the mind works, the way it connects to the emotions. I've not quite read the book, but it was interesting. You know, and it's supposed to be one of the best sellers now, and Isabelle knows they're now using it to develop new formats of management and blah blah and so on and all that. So that's the big thing. But here the Bible says, let's beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You know, there's something in the world, and the feeling you get in the world, in fact, I was just meditating on it this afternoon, that God, you know, was just showing me some scriptures, and I actually saw that the devil has been telling us a lie. You know, all that he has been doing all over is to give you a lie. Now, what's the lie? The devil is telling, has told us a lie that, one, we cannot be like Christ. Two, that God cannot dwell in us. But do you know what has been happening? He has been dwelling in us. The devil has been dwelling in us. The spirits have been dwelling in us. But they are telling me that God cannot dwell in me. So at the back of my mind, I look at myself. The basic, I don't know about you, but for me, I have to struggle with the thought that, yes, that I'm the temple of God. God can dwell in me. I don't know about you, but I have struggled with it. But you know, while I'm struggling, the devil is, the spirits are there within me. So you understand? So what he is already doing, he's telling you, God cannot do in you. Amen. That is the philosophy. So you find out that the philosophies in the world today, everything that they're telling you is that man is man. He doesn't have any connection with God. He's the architect of his own destiny. His everything is man. God has nothing in it. You know? But when we look at the scripture, we see differently. That in fact, the devil is far from the truth. That when you think of man, you think of God. When you think of man, the next thing you think of is what? God. God and man can never be separated. And as I was telling the brethren yesterday, when you think of a priest, you think of yourself, man. When you think of a priest, you think of yourself. Because God made you. Everything about you is worship. Everything about me is worship. I can never do anything. Anything I do is worship. That is the way God created us. But the devil has told us completely different. So when you think of a priest, you think of a man who is wearing black and black. He's tying something. Or if he's wearing white, he has a feather by his head. Or he has put on marks. Then you know this is a priest. So the devil has completely changed the whole thing. And that's what he's saying. The philosophies of men, the traditions of men, you know, there's a thinking, you know, so today I'm trying to deal with our thinking, because the battle is won in our mind, and the battle is lost also in our mind, even though you may not appreciate it, but the things that happen to you, you notice, you win it or lose it at the level of your mind, and so that's what we want to address, the mind, and our mindset. Right from the beginning, we have lost. Our mindset is that I can never overcome. Your mindset is I can never worship God. My mindset, I can never please God. My mindset, I can never hear from God. You know, there's a time I used to believe that I cannot hear from God. When people say God spoke to me, I say, God, how did you speak to them? I say, God, can you speak to me? I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes I even have that problem. I say, God, that brother, I say, God spoke to him. How did you speak to him? And I'm, you know, wondering. And we believe it commonly that God cannot talk to us, we cannot be close to God, we cannot please God, we cannot walk with God. And those are things in our mind. And you see that when you begin to change your mindset, you see you will be on the victory path. Yeah. You will see that things will turn around for you. Yeah. Even the things that, okay, let me give you an example of mindset. I came back from Uyo on the Monday morning. We didn't plan, we are planning to come back on Sunday evening. Saturday, the friend said, you're not going anywhere. So when are you going? They say, we say Saturday, Sunday morning. They say, no. You are leaving on Monday. How can I leave on Monday? I have work to do. They say you must leave on Monday. They canceled everything. I rested on So we left to you Monday morning. Got home. I told Happiness, keep the key somewhere. And I went there. And when I got to your house, I didn't bother that Dummy was in the house. So I said, let me just go and check where she should have kept the key. I went there. The key was not there. My normal reaction is to say, this girl, Happiness. When I tell her to do something, she doesn't do it. Normally, she does it, it's just me that she's trying to harass her. But my man said it was, when I tell her something, she does it. But the thing was that, I haven't bothered to check whether Zomi was in the house. So I looked open the water washing machine, nothing was there. I said, what is all this girl now? Oh. I said, what do I do now? Something said, look, you have to overcome now. So I said, okay, now listen, I must overcome now. So I said, okay, God, I thank you for the situation. Praise God for the situation. Praise God for the situation. I went and looked, I didn't see it. I said, what do I do now? I said, God, what do I do? I said, okay, let me just try and go in front. Then I said, okay, let me call Zomi to know where she is now. I started calling her. Then she switched off. So I suspected that she was in the house. So I went to the front of the house and opened the door, and the door was open, and I entered the house. But already I was abusing Happiness. This girl, she's this. Where was it? Was my mentality. So what saved me was that, so when that happened, I said, see, the devil overcame. You see, I overcame. What saved me was that I just say withdraw. I said, well, thank God for the situation. And as I began to thank God, that changed the thing. It don't always happen like that, though. Before I rap, say, oh, this guy. I tell her, she doesn't do what I tell her. But meanwhile, I'm the problem. Amen. That is an example of mentality. Your mindset. And brethren, we need to address it. So many of the time, we are all dressed up, we are all equipped, we know what to do. But because our mentality is wrong, the devil beats us hands down. You know, so that's why I want us to look at some of those basic things. Now look at verse 9. So for in him dwelleth all the food. You didn't say some. All the fullness of the Godhead. Where? Which body is this? Is that the more? Which body is this one? It's the body of God, I think. Which body is this one? Body of Christ. That's a very safe way to land. Land very well now. Okay. He's talking about Jesus. You understand? In Jesus dwells the fullness of the Godhead. Where?
Body.
So in a human, in the body of a human being, God came fully. Now, to just clarify it, let's look at Matthew 1 verse 16. It says, and Jacob, read this very low, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born who? Of whom was born who? Did you read it well? Of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Okay? So Jesus was born as a natural man, a body. And the body he was born with was a mortal body because he died. Isn't that so? So the body he has is the same one you have also. Alright? So Jesus came like we. When he says he came in every point, what he meant was that when Jesus came to us, his body was mortal, just like me and you, the same body, the same flesh. But, well, the difference was in his spirit, because in his spirit and in his soul, we know he had the fullness of God, isn't that so? He had the So here was a man walking on earth, subject to all the laws of the flesh, but in him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. So if the devil tells you it's not possible, then it cannot be true. Because there is a man who has done it. And God did it because he did it like that. So the devil had opportunity to tempt him. They even planted some women there. planted some spines. Everybody was there. The spies were there. The women were there. Every situation was there. Tempted. Did everything. Of course, the Bible says without anything. He didn't. So he overcame in his situation. And then when he eventually died, the same body died, he resurrected. And we see him in that body going around, was eating, he ate fish, ate bread, talked with the people, they touched him. You know, so what am I saying? Brethren, this thing is real. You know, and I pray that one of the things that I think we'll pray this night, one of the things that I have been praying for, I say, God, I want to know your reality. I want to know you in reality. You know, those days of God somewhere in my mind, I'm looking for a tangible relationship with God, a real thing. You know, there was something that happened to me the other day. I was afraid. I saw something. I was afraid. I saw that it is possible for me that anything I ask God, God can give it to me. I saw that even the things that have been looking so difficult, that there's a place I get to, those things are not a problem to me anymore. I was afraid. I said, so it means that I can be in a place where I can even have the power of creation. That is, if I say this is it, then it is. You know, I saw a flash of that. And that's what I'm telling you, brethren, things are changing. What is happening to you, you need to look well. Examine yourself very well. You will see that something has changed.
Amen.
It's not like before. Examine, check yourself. The Bible says, examine yourself. You will see that there are things about you that have changed. And you better be careful how you pray, the things you say. I'm telling you, they have a creative power. I've seen some things. I said, just finished talking, it has happened. You know? So, that is part of what is happening, that God is coming down to man. The devil has told us it's not possible, but that is not true. We are in the time when, in fact, time is running down. He says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. God is coming down. Say, thy kingdom come. It's just that we are not expecting it. We should be expecting it. And you see, that is the switch we need to make, brethren. And what is this switch? The switch is that man is the house of God. And God is coming back to his house. The problem we have is that we are having that mentality that no, God cannot dwell in me. All these things. We say you with our mouth, we don't believe you with our heart. But you see, a time is coming when that difference has to go away. We are the things we say and what we believe become the same. And they become the same in the reality that God is coming down to man. So now, let's look at that scripture that says you will call his name Emmanuel. Where do you find it? Where is it? Emmanuel. Matthew 1:23, is it? Okay, I know it was Matthew. Matthew 1:23. That's it. So behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And the question I want to ask you, do you believe this scripture? Just take a time, take a moment and ask yourself, do you believe it? God with us. Is God really coming with us? Maybe if God comes, he'll be floating in the air around. Is that where God will be when he comes around? Answer me now, brother. When God comes, he will be on the street. He will be in the plants and trees. Is that where he will be? He says, God with us. Emmanuel. And you know, brethren, Emmanuel is real. God in man. God in man. Think about it. And I want you to take some time to meditate on it when you go home. Emmanuel. Ask yourself, what does Emmanuel mean? God in us. As you are here now, it's God in you. When you woke up this morning, did you think about it? Did you look at yourself in the mirror and say, yes, this is a man in whom God is dwelling in? Do you do that? Try and do it this morning when you wake up. As you are brushing your teeth, you look at yourself, point on that man you see on the mirror. Say, my friend, God is in you. And you need to do it every morning so that it becomes part of you. So as you are walking out, you are saying, ah, God is in me. This is a man in whom God is dwelling. And you know something? The fullness of God is coming. No, not just God. The fullness of God is coming bodily. Amen. What's happening now? Am I doing something wrong? Angel, am I saying something wrong? Amen. Now, ask me now. I know you are tired. That's small. Amen. Emmanuel. God is in us. I know we have not thought about it. But you see, we need to start thinking about it more often. Because that is what's happening. God is coming to man. You know, God is coming to take up his house in man. Amen. Okay. I know somebody say, what's all this man? God coming. Let's look at Psalm 19. You know, say a prayer of Moses. A psalm of Moses. What did Moses say? Say a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. How many people believe this? Do you really believe it? Do you believe it? That God has been your dwelling place in all generations. Okay, do I tell you what God showed me? Okay, let me tell you. You see, the mind of man has three natures, has three dimensions, or three realms. Any one you like, take that you're comfortable with. Now, the first part of man, of the mind of man, is the conscious mind. That is the part of your mind that is operating. You know that you are aware of. But in the next, it's 8 o'clock now. In the next 4 hours, I guarantee you. Okay, let's say 5 hours. By 5 hours, let's say 98% of this room will be sleeping. 98%, apart from the late crawlers like me, who might still be running around doing one thing or the other. Many of you will be sleeping. Now, what is happening to you? Your conscious mind has been suspended. Okay? I don't know if you have a better word. Okay, has been put aside. You're not aware. But another part of your mind begins to function. It has been functioning, even now it's functioning. But that is the one that is now fully functional. What is that? What I call it, our conscious mind. Or conscious realm, anyone, just pick anyone. Now, that's a part of your mind that's still functioning. Okay? Now, that part of your mind is in fellowship with the spirit, with the heaven. Do you know why? Because the nature of man, the nature of the soul, he said God breathed into man, that is heaven, isn't it so? And he took the earth. So there is a carnal and a natural part that makes up the mind of man. So when we talk about the conscious mind is just the natural part of the mind of man. But there is a spiritual part of your mind. That one does not sleep. And that is the one you say that when men are asleep in the night season, what happens? God comes to talk with you. Sometimes the devil also comes to talk with you. And then sometimes when you have eaten too much akara, you see yourself frying akara in your dream. That is what they call the business of life, is it not so? Now, that is the second part of the mind. Now, there's a third part of the mind. That is what the Bible calls the loins of the mind. That's a higher dimension of the mind of man, which is creative, which is productive. And those are the parts. He says, that will make me to know wisdom. We are in the inward part. Now, those are the dimensions of our nature that God says, I will put my law in the inward part. Now, it so happens that when Adam fell, when man, you know, did what he did, man, the mind of man fell. And then the devil took over. Bible says he has blinded the mind. You understand? He has blinded the minds of them that believe. So, the devil had access to the mind of man. And that's what he told Jesus. So if you sit down and worship me, what do? I will show you the kingdoms of the world. He said, they have been given to me. He had authority over the mind of man. And, you know, Brother Bot had that dream. He said, you entered the war room I insult this spirit. They will plan something, and then they will give it to a messenger, and they will follow. They will go follow the darkness, and they will be spreading it. Men will wake up with an idea, had a dream, but that dream is something sown into the mind. Why, you know, something planted in. So we see that the devil has had the power to influence what is happening in the world, and sometimes it comes to you. It comes to me. You have a dream, and you know that Bradley could tell me that if he's doing something and he has a dream, he knows what's going to happen. That work is going to spoil, you know, because of the power of the dream, isn't it? So there are dimensions in which the devil has had authority over us that God is beginning to address. You know, there are, you know, things that he, you know, things that he could pull that he found out that he's not able to pull. So when Moses began to tell you, Lord, that has been our dwelling place in all generations, what is he saying? Let me give you the scripture. He says that Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek, isn't also? And he said that Levi was where? Was in the loins. Where is the loins now? Hallelujah. I don't know if you understand. You see, we are talking about depths of spiritual reality. And in that place, Bible said that we have been in God. God has desired that there will be a people, and that these people will be called men, and that these men will be the dwelling place of God, will be the house of God. And that these men, not just house of God, they will become part of the Godhead. I don't know, is that too much? That you will become part of the Godhead. Because Bible said that we shall be joined heads with Christ. Christ is the Son of God. So where we are going to, we are going into God. But we're not going to be God, we are going to be men. I'm very, very happy to be a man. But my genealogy in God is that I'm going to be a joint heir with Christ. And I'm going to be the dwelling place of God. And that God is going to fill me to all fullness. And he will see, there will still be a lot of God remaining. So he will come and fill you. Amen. When he finishes, there will be a lot remaining. He will come and fill you. Say, so he is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. It's too big. Hallelujah. Well, I didn't plan it. God planned it. And I'm beginning to realize that the lines are falling unto me in goodly places. He said, great is my reward. Great is my inheritance. He said, he has given us with, you know, an inheritance that is far beyond all things. He said, the riches of our inheritance in Christ. Now, when you begin to understand that, then, you see, you cannot be looking at yourself the way you are looking now. You need to look at yourself in the mirror. I said, my friend, this is what God is saying about you. So you cannot just be, you know, equate you, bring yourself the way you bring yourself. You know? So, as we were saying yesterday, you know, the stone was cut in the mountain. And you know, the mountain speaks of a stronghold, the situations, the circumstance you are in. And you know, when they cut the stone, they bring it and they come to the temple to fit it in. So any situation you are in, just stay there, make sure you overcome. Because in that overcoming, that is the sharpening, that is the fullness of what God is doing. And at the right time, you will see yourself being fitted. So God is building a house, and it's noiseless. Hallelujah. And the house is building is according to a pattern. According to a pattern. You know, so we're looking at this prayer of Moses, Lord, that has been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains we are brought forth, or ever that has formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. In other words, we have been in God. And at the end, we will still be in God. That is the power. Hallelujah. Say amen now.
Amen.
That is the power of the inheritance we have. So the Bible says, what shall it profit a man to gain all the world and to lose your soul? You know, there is an inheritance we have with God that is going to become more and more apparent which we don't see at this time. Now, what is the scripture saying? That even before the mountains were brought forth, God had a design for you and me. Yesterday, I was, you know, showing the brethren that even before the Old Testament was brought forth, God said we will be a nation, a kingdom of priests. Our priesthood was before that of Aaron. So let's read it. Exodus 19. In Exodus 20, that's when they gave the law. So even before they gave the law, God had already said that we are going to be a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Royal means a king priest. Amen. A priest that is ruling, that has authority. Amen. That was before the Old Testament. So our priesthood is senior to the Old Testament. Amen. And I was telling the brethren, we need to put aside this Old Testament mentality. Our priesthood is original and has been ever in God. Amen. Exodus 19, verse 5. Is it not 5 already? He said, "Now therefore, if you obey my voice indeed, I keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." Now read verse 6. "And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation." See, these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Egypt, of Israel. So even before, remember at this time, Levi had not been chosen to be the priest. There was no such. The Levi came on the scene in Exodus 30, 31, 32. By the time Moses went up to the mountain, he came down. The people were in idolatry. God said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" And Levi said, "Okay, I'm on the Lord's side." So even before Levi came, God had already said that you are a priest. Amen. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Before the Old Testament started, God has already pronounced you a priest. Hallelujah. And the priesthood of believers is the more everlasting thing. That's the real thing. The Old Testament, according to Galatians, was added because of weakness. It says, until the heir comes to maturity. When the hair comes to maturity, what happens? The old. And right now, God is speaking to us, brethren, because God is bringing us to maturity. Say amen now. God is saying, it is now time to put aside the Old Testament. It is now time for us to come out, come into our real priesthood. And that is the priesthood of the soul. The soul is the priest. The soul, your mind, your emotions, my desire, that is the priest. Amen. Say amen. Hallelujah. There's a new priesthood in town. It's not really new. It has been of old. But the time for that priesthood has come. Amen. The time for service, being a servant, is over. Hallelujah. But you know the problem? We have the elephant mentality. You know that? Do you know that elephant? Okay, I'll tell you. There was an elephant in one zoo. They put a cage. The cage stopped here. Then the cage stopped here. And then stopped here and there. So when the elephant goes, he will knock his head, he will go back. He will go this side, he will knock it. So one day they removed the cage. It's an elephant, run! In the mind, it was still bound, but it was free. Amen. That's where we are now. Hallelujah. The chains have been loose, but in our mind, we are still bound. Hallelujah. It's like the slave who has been with his master for 49 years. On the 50th year, Trumpet starts blowing. So yeah, go, Elefreeman. Yeah. In this place, no mind they give me food and shop. He takes care of my children. Anything I want, he gives me. And they say, Jubilee, I should go. What is Jubilee? Even my father's house, I don't even know whether there's anybody in my father's house. I still stay here. If I go out, something might happen to me and I will die. It is better for me to stay in this place and be eating bread morning and evening than to go out and say I'm a free man. So the man went to his organ, don't be annoyed. I like you. It's okay now. If you like me, you know what the Bible says. Bring your ear. You know what the ear means? You will no longer hear the trumpet.
Hey.
Isn't that so? Hey, when they put something here, that means no more trumpet. You won't even hear it anymore. It's over. So when they start blowing that trumpet of Jubilee, they say, no, it's over for me. This is my house. This is my organ. Amen. You know, when Nehemiah told those people, say, look, they say we should go back to Jerusalem. They said, come, my friend. We have been here for 70 years. See my land. See my business. So, my friend, don't make sure that they get to me. If you want to go, go. I'm comfortable in Babylon. Many of them did not want to go because of what they have been, you know, used to. Amen. The time to go home has come.
Yeah.
You know, the prodigal son came one day, says, I will arise and I will go back to my father's house. Amen. What's the father's house? We are going back to that inheritance. Okay, let's look at that. We are looking at that scripture, Romans 12. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, when you say living sacrifice, you know, automatically your mind must go to the outer court. Because in the outer court we had the sacrifice, isn't it also? But that one was an animal that was brought, that was offered upon the altar. And yesterday I was telling the brethren, you know, if you don't bring a sacrifice, there cannot be a fire. It's when you bring a sacrifice, then fire will come upon the sacrifice. So if you want fire in your life, what do you do? You bring a sacrifice. You bring an offering. You know? So our life should be a continual offering. If I'm a continual offering, that means there will be a continual fire upon me. That means that my life will be a continual incense, bringing forth an aroma. Isn't that so? You know? That I will always be, is, you know, be a pleasure to God. Then God will always dwell in me. Amen. He said, God inhabits the praise of his people. Praise is not just singing song. It is an attitude of heart, an attitude of my emotions, an attitude of my will. You know, the four natures in me. It is the nature, that is the state of my emotions, is a worship to God. Hallelujah. That means, you know, our emotions must be healthy. You know that? Because it's a worship to God. If I realize that my emotion will be healthy, then there's no way I'm going to let an offense dwell in my emotions. I will quickly get rid of it. I'll deal with it. Because it's not just that somebody did something. That's not the issue. The issue is that I am an offering to God. And if I'm allowing this, then it is a defilement to my offering. And God says, look, forget it. Go and settle with your brother. Then you come and then you will be an offering to me. So if we realize that the state of our mind is the worship, then it's going to affect our attitude. We'll know that worship is not just when I come here on Wednesday. You know, that's what I think of the brethren, for instance. It's not just when I come and look and I say, oh, the brethren are there. But my attitude towards the people of God will be healthy. Amen.
Amen.
Not just healthy. I find myself, I'll be in a place of prayer. When a brother comes to my mind, I know, you see, I know, you should know that you're a spiritual person. So when you find something weighing on your heart, then God is speaking to you. There is something that God is saying to you about that situation. Pray about it. Amen. Our brother says to say, if God wants you to pray against somebody, he will get the people to attack you. He's always attacking you. He's always you. So that means God wants you to pray for the person all the time. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Amen. Yes. Satan takes the life. Yes. Satan takes the life. You know, but if the devil tells you that the state of your emotion is not important, what is important is when you come here and you wave hands. Or when you think you're having fellowship at home, you say, oh, this person is disturbing me from having good fellowship. What is that? Whatever your emotion is doing is the worship. You know? That is the offering that is being given. So, in actual fact, if we can move further, what you see in Ezekiel 1, Isaiah 6, Revelation 4 is the throne, is the altar of your throne. So what you call the mercy seat is an altar. But just that in this place, it is so pure, so clean, that God dwells there. He said, I will dwell between the wings of the cherubim. What is cherubim? Cherubim is like a lion, it's like a bird, isn't it also? It is the same soul, but now it has been dealt with, it has been purified, it has been cleansed. So the fact that it has overcome darkness. So, you say God will not behold any iniquity because there is none. Then God dwells there. So the more you purify yourself, the more the presence of God is dwelling with you more and more. You understand? So, and for me, that is a very important thought because in the past, we didn't always approach it from that point of view. It's like we can do anything with our emotion. We can do anything with our mind. Those things were not important. What was more important was when I come to church, I maintain an outlook of righteousness. When in actual fact, the real righteousness should be in. You know? So that's what he's saying, that we are the living sacrifice. So every day, I am a worship to God. So I'm looking at the state of my emotions, the state of my mind, the state of my desires. I'm not just going to let things fly over because this thing within me, this is the altar of God. This is God's throne. They must keep it holy. And as we will see, you know, Hebrews was trying to tell us, Hebrews 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He said, look, the man took wood, put oil, put blood. What happened to the wood? The wood became holy. Is it not so? Say yes now. The wood became holy. So it's not saying you and the wood, who is more holy? If ordinary wood became holy, how much more you? So we cannot say we are God's temple and then we turn back and go away. We cannot go away. If we are God's temple, then the temple must be dedicated. And the dedication is by blood first. So that's why the first place you come to is the brazen altar. So when you come there, it's a place of blood. So as a priest, I must make sure that my emotions are clean. And the way to do it is by the blood. So the Bible says, my little children, do not commit sin. Do not so. If you commit sin, what do you do? You have a provision of blood. Use the blood and clean yourself. You know. So the thing is that in our mind, we do not see ourselves as priests. And we do not function as priests. If I see myself as a priest, if I have thought about it, and I say, okay, I'm not going to live, I have taken a decision. I say, God, from now on, I'm going to live as a priest. Then I will see that I will keep a watch over my emotions. I will try as much as possible for nothing to. But if something comes, you say, my little children, do not sin. Isn't that so? But if you sin, amen. Say amen now. Amen. The problem is not that I have sinned. The problem is that I sinned and I don't do anything about it. Amen. So if peradventure something has happened, what do you do? Say, you have an advocate. Huh? Jesus Christ, who is a propitiation, a big English word. Sister, what does it mean? That he is there to cover. Isn't that so? That sin, that situation, there is something to cover it. God has made a provision to deal with it. So you deal with it and you move on. Now the devil is going to come tell you, no, yesterday, how bad you are. That's his problem. So you must have the word to know what the word says, that there is a provision. And when you deal with that, is to move on, because that's not all. Because the temple must not just have blood, it must have oil also. Those are the two things that he used to dedicate the altar, the blood. And they put the blood at the four corners, isn't it so? And then you also put the oil on top of the blood. And that is consecration and sanctification. You know what? God is separating you, and not just separating you, he's purifying you, making you special. Amen. And you know, and you need to move on to the point where God can put some scent on you, some special, I don't use the word perfume. God needs to put a small, good aroma. Sister, don't you use the aroma? Yeah, use special aroma. The one you like. God has a special aroma he wants to put on you. Say amen now. Hallelujah. God has a special aroma for you. It's called incense. It's a frankincense. Put it special. So that when he thinks of you, there is an aroma. Hallelujah. So God is preparing a house for himself, that he might dwell. Amen. So we need to change our mentality, that we are that house. We are that house. I will read that scripture very closely, but let's just read this one. It says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. No. It's worship. That word is worship. It's latria. That is the Greek word. Check it. If you have a word or keyword, check it. The word there is latria. And latria, everybody knows it's worship. It's worship. So he's saying that your body, your emotion, is worship. It's a reasonable service. So it's not just saying I'm going for service. It's a very weak word. What he's saying is that it's a worship to God. You are a worship to God. Hallelujah. My emotion is a worship to God. Hallelujah. I'm telling God, I don't want to show so much emotion. I have a problem. You know, when they say there's going to be a meeting tomorrow by 8 o'clock, you know the problem? I will sleep. Every day I'm taking out the meeting by 8 o'clock. I say, what is the problem? Why must I be? I'll stay the whole day taking out that meeting. And you know what? I'll be the first person at the meeting. I'll be there waiting for other people. What is the problem? Amen. Pray for me. I don't want to put so much energy in meeting. Hallelujah. Are you like me? Are there things that you put too much energy in? Yeah. Huh? Yeah. I'm telling about meeting. There are other things that will put too much energy. You know, when somebody starts reading hematology for me, oh my God. It's like my tummy is very sweet. It's like you put sugar in my tummy. I like it. Is there anything you like that? Amen. God needs to deliver us.
Amen.
We need to be brought back. That form of energy should go to God. Should not be given to another thing.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is how to redeem the soul. It's not going to just go away. You must work at it. You must make an offering. Hallelujah. That is the peace offering. You must open up yourself and say, God, this is me. I like this. So much emotion. So much energy going into all these things. And they are all meat for the belly and belly for meat. And after some time, it's gone. Isn't it not so? Amen. They say there is a meat that does not perish. It's a labor for the meat that does not perish. Hallelujah. So we see that these things, we are doing it and we don't count it for anything. But in actual fact, those are the things that really matter with God. Hallelujah. The worship we bring, the service we bring, the energy we give to these things. You know, God says we should put them out. Okay, I'll just read two scriptures and I'll close. What was this scripture I wanted to read now? Okay, let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. I had it open. 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, yes. Before we go to 1 Corinthians 15, I remembered, I read it yesterday, two scriptures, Ephesians and then Peter, quickly. And then we will. Ephesians 2, It's very important. Ephesians 2:19. Ephesians 2:19 says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." Verse 21, "In whom all the building fitly framed together, growing up to an holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together as an habitation of God through the Spirit." So we're being built up as a habitation of God. You know? And I was saying to some people that, you know, I am a temple. You are a temple. When we come together, the temples of God have come together. And so we become a city of temples. Hallelujah. So it says, "In my Father's house are many, many dwelling places. Many habitations in the Spirit. Some are blue, some are yellow. Isn't that so? Some are green. Some are, I don't know the color. Is it lilac? What do you call it? Then the other one is deep purple. The other one. So God has different kind of dwelling places for special occasions. And he dwells in us as a pleasure. Don't you understand? Amen. It's like you get up today. You decided to wear this dress. Isn't that so, sister? Then you're wearing this one. You feel good when you're wearing it. Isn't that so? Amen. So God looks at you. He feels good because you are a particular flavor of dwelling place. Hallelujah. That he has prepared for himself through special circumstances. Amen. So there's no point trying to say, "Well, let me be like this person or be like this." And like I was telling them, you don't say, "My God is a good God. My God is a good God." Amen. Because that's my intonation. I'm not an American. Hallelujah. So be yourself. Just be real with God. Don't try to put on anything, because God put you in Nigeria so that he can bring out something special in you. Amen. And then when you are in Nigeria, he has put you in a particular condition. And he's saying, "Stay there and overcome." Hallelujah. So that you can bring forth a special aroma unto the Lord. And he says, "My grace is sufficient." Amen. Now, let's look at 1 Peter. I'm running up. 1 Peter. I think 1 Peter 2, isn't it? 1 Peter 2, 5. Yes, that's just what I was saying. "So ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house." So we will see Peter talking about it. We have just read Paul, isn't it, also talking about it. So he said, "By the word of two or three witnesses, every word will be established." So we see a witness in the Spirit as to what God is saying. He says, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Amen. To offer us spiritual sacrifices. The sacrifice we are to bring are spiritual offerings. Offerings of burnt offerings. You know, burnt offerings, everything is given to God for that. And that is what we should bring, that our lives, our time, you know, all the fancies, so many things we can bring and say, "God, I give it to you. I lay it down." Amen. "This is needful for me, but you need it more. I give it to you." And, you know, Abraham brought a peace offering, Isaac. God says, "Your very son." Okay, you want it? It's yours. It was a very difficult offering. You know, and sometimes God is asking us for a spiritual sacrifice, an offering. You know, and it is the measure of our love, of our devotion, of our worship, when we bring such offering unto him. And he told Abraham, "Now I know." God can tell you that. Do you know that? God can tell you, "Now I know." Hallelujah. Say amen now. If Abraham did it, you can do it. It's a man of like flesh like us. So spiritual sacrifice is acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise the Lord. The last scripture is in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is our last scripture. It says, verse 35, it says, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? That fool, that which thou sowest, is not quickened, except he die. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wish I could tell you about it. You know, on the tenth day, there was a resurrection. Isn't that so? All the seeds that had been planted began to rise up. But that was not the full resurrection. It was just the sheep, the waving. It was just a first fruit. Amen. And when you come to the lampstand, that's just the beginning of the resurrection. That's, you know, man begins to come back again into the place of authority, of life, in the spirit. You know, so that's what he's saying here. And that which thou sowest not that body which shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. Just a minute. Okay, another of birds, 14. These are also there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written. That's what I'm going to. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. How be it? That was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth. The second man is spiritual. Is the Lord from heaven. So verse 47 is actually all I have been saying. That there are two faces of man. There is the natural man, and then there is the spiritual man. The spiritual man is the man that is the house of God. The natural man is the man that is the house of spirit. We saw that man of Gadara, is it not so? Filled with the legion of spirit. That is the first phase. And God is telling us that first phase is over. We are coming into the second phase, where there will be a spiritual man. This man is going to be the dwelling place of God. God is going to dwell in him bodily. Amen. And that first man, this last man, an example was Jesus Christ. He came, and in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. And he is a standard by which God is going to judge every other man. 48 says, and as is the earthing, such are they also that are earthing, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthing, the first man, we have been natural. The natural man, his spirit is disconnected from God. But the second man, his spirit is joined back to God. Not just that, his soul is also reconnected back to God. So he's being fed by the river of God. And he has the throne of God in him, in his soul. He says, as we are born the image of the earthing, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Amen. He said, now this I say, brethren, that all flesh, that flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen. The trumpet that we are hearing, we should be hearing, is the trumpet of change. Amen. That is the seventh trumpet. The seventh trumpet is the bridal message. It's the message that's preparing the soul to be a bride for Christ. Amen. He said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, that word means in a time, a period of time, in the time of visitation. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that means when our focus changes. Amen. When our mentality changes. You see, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That work of the Lord is the offering, spiritual sacrifices. Amen. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. So we should comfort ourselves. Amen. Praise the Lord.